When did I get interested in the guitar? It was around the age of 10. That's when we first had an instrument in the house. My mother wanted me to play piano. I wanted to play guitar, simply by listening to the guitarist on family records. I still have the guitar. It was a nylon strung guitar, but I can remember where it was bought from. It was bought from Wells Music Store in Romford in Essex. And if I'm right, it was no more than about £10. It was 9 guineas, which was slightly over £10. It was £9.09. And when we brought it home, my mum picked it up first. And we had a Burt Wheaton book, The Play in a Day, at the time, which I believe they've changed now because Trade Descriptions Act say you can't actually play in the day, so I think they've called it something else. But Bert's book was great, and still is a good book to get you started. And Mum started playing some chords, first of all. And then I decided that, you know, this guitar was bought for me, so let me have a go. Anyway, cut a long story short, I started to pick it up very quickly. And before I knew where I was playing all the chords in the books, you know, the usual open chords, E, G, A, D, C, F, and I believe the tune that was in there that was written, She'll Be Coming Round the Mountain, I used to drive everybody crazy with that. But I got the bug, I'd started to play, and as I went through school, there were a couple of other guys that were in the next year to me that played guitar. This was when I'd got to secondary school, which was at the time, that was what they're now our comprehensive, so I was at secondary school. I was suddenly amazed at what they could play. They probably weren't playing much more than I was playing, but they were just that little bit better. So that gave me the bug to want to learn more. Anyway, I progressed more and more, and one of these guys I became friendly with, and he had made an electric guitar, which to me was, we used to go round there on a Saturday afternoon and look at it like a piece of art. And I remember it being made out of mahogany. It weighed a ton. And his name was Brian Hinchcliffe, and he was always changing it. One week, there would be a slightly different cut on the horn where he decided it didn't quite look right, so he then changed it. And I had to have one of these guitars. And I went back to Dad, and we only had the acoustic guitar. In fact, this story is featured in Mo Foster's book called 17 Watts, which is all about early guitar players in Great Britain. It's a great book, and it's very, very funny. And he cites the story of my dad making the first electric guitar because he says something about us not having the luthier's art, which I think summed it up completely. Because my dad decided that from somewhere he got this huge piece of what looked like doweling. It was like a huge broomstick that was cut down the center, and that was the neck. And all my dad had as a template was the other acoustic guitar we had. So he made this guitar, my dad. He'd seen Brian Hinchcliffe's, and I showed him pictures of American guitars, Fenders, whatever else I used to send away for this catalogue to a company called Bell. You remember Bell Music, and in there were all these wonderful guitars that, you know, I guess that were all the dreams of all of us. And my dad looked at it, and he made this guitar. And I remember Brian Hinchcliffe had given us this old Vox pickup, which I've still got. It's a single bar pickup. It was brass, and it was a single bar pickup, like a soap bar. And we used that. And my dad was a bit of a radio buff, so he was able to botch up the volume and the tone. But the fretting was like, I mean, Mo relates this story. You know, my dad said, well, how many frets does it have? And I said, well, let's count them in the book, you know, and we kind of worked out there was 21. And he literally measured, you know, I said, well, they get closer together, Dad, as they come down. And he measured the other guitar that we had, the acoustic guitar, and it was pretty accurate. I mean, it wasn't one. Remember, it had a horrendous action, though. It was so high, the action. But it worked. It absolutely worked. And it got me playing. I could make a noise with it. I used to plug it in the radio, just like we all did in the beginning. But then I started to be able to, as I said, the Burt Wheaton book, I could pick out the tunes, and I started to read a little. You know, I think my parents realized that, you know, perhaps they should spend a little more money on a guitar for me. And the very first guitar that we bought, well, the first guitar I wanted was a Rossetti Lucky 7, which was the worst guitar, I think, when I think back why I ever wanted one of those, I can never remember. Again, it was just another plank of wood with a huge, hugely high action, and two pickups that were mounted on the scratch plate, that the scratch plate assembly was part of the pickup assembly. But next to it in the same store, and I can remember the name of the store, Hodges and Johnson in Romford in Essex, which is where we came from, was this Hofner Colorama in metallic blue that was a real... Now, Hofner guitars were beautifully made. The action was good, the pickups were good. And that was 18 guineas. And I think it was slightly more expensive than the Rossetti. Because you remember in those, I mean, we're talking a long time, we're talking in the 60s here, when a Fender Stratocaster cost £165, £170, which was a hell of a lot of dosh, when you consider that the cheap guitars were only £18. So there's a hell of a lot of difference. I mean, now guitars are very affordable. You can buy a guitar for a week's wages, I mean, which is, which you could in those days, but of course it was only a very cheap guitar. But nevertheless, the Hofner was good. We bought the Hofner Colorama, and again, I started to progress. We got a guitar teacher for me, a guy that used to live in Upminster in Essex. And then I got another guitar teacher who was the guitarist of Edmondo Ross, the Latin American band, big band of the time, you know, middle of the road kind of music. And he really was an excellent teacher. He taught me a lot, and he taught me the art of playing with style too, playing with feeling, not just looking at playing the chords, looking how you played the chords. And he introduced me to a lot of jazz guitarists that I never knew about, people like Kenny Burrell, Wes Montgomery. He told me who to listen to, and all of that kind of rubbed off as well, which was very important. And by the time I was 14, I had a band, and it was a band called Dante's Inferno. And we were quite a good little band. We used to play a lot of the R&B tunes of the time. And I remember playing at a place called the Romford Lawn Tennis Club, I believe it was called. And we played with another band who were, I thought, much older guys. And when I think back, they were probably only a year or two older than me. But to me, they were like, you know, I was 14. And if they were 16, you know, they were ancient. So I played with this band. And at the end of the night, the guy who was the guitarist came over and said to me, you should think about doing this for a living, you see. And I thought, oh, Christ, that's great. You know, I mean, he was complimenting me, I guess, on somebody young, perhaps, you know, playing a few nice licks. But I went home and told my dad this. And, of course, my dad said, well, you know, you want to think about, I don't know, maybe doing it for a living. But my parents were great. And in the end, when they saw that I was absolutely dedicated to playing the guitar, they then bought me another guitar, which was a Gretsch Corvette. And that was the guitar that, when I guess I must have been getting on for about 15 then. And at 15, I went for my first audition with a band. And it was a band called Rupert and the Red Devils, who were a ska band based in London. And I got the gig. And there I was at 15, playing with guys who were much older than me. But I fell into place, and, you know, because of that, I mean, that's what we left school at 15 in those days. And I did that alongside doing various jobs. I worked for a tailor's, I worked with my father as an insulating engineer. But I kept on playing weekend after weekend, weekend after weekend. And eventually I turned professional, and Rupert and the Red Devils went to Germany. And that's where my career really started, as of being a professional musician.